It is Wednesday, May 17th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, President Donald Trump attacks his critics during a commencement speech. Protesters battle supporters of the Turkish president in Washington. And Lady Gaga has a new single, and we'll listen to it. It's all ahead. U.S. President Donald Trump Wednesday lashed out at his critics in a commencement speech at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut. The speech was his first following the allegation that he sought to derail an investigation into links his former national security advisor had with Russian officials, on top of reports that Trump disclosed classified intelligence to two Moscow diplomats last week. Trump said,
"Look at the way I've been treated lately. Especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams."
Trump said he will persist with his efforts.
"Adversity makes you stronger. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face. I've accomplished a tremendous amount in a very short time as president."
I'm joined in the studio by VOA editor Ken Brademeyer. Ken, Mr. Trump said he's been treated worse than any U.S. president. Of course, if you look at the, you know, history, Richard Nixon, Harry Truman, there was a lot of criticism of him, Bill Clinton, during his own impeachment. I mean, a number of presidents have been criticized quite substantially.
Certainly over time, every president seems put upon, be it by stories that they don't like, or perhaps critics from the opposite party in Congress. It kind of comes with the turf, and Trump is finding out less than 4 months in office that Washington can be a brutal place. That said, he's brought on some of the criticism certainly by his own actions. Dealing with the last week alone, on successive days, he fired James Comey, the FBI director. He met in the Oval Office with two Russian diplomats and, according to reports, disclosed highly classified information. And then just yesterday, this other information came out that back in February, shortly after Donald Trump fired his first national security advisor, Michael Flynn, he met with Comey and urged him to drop the FBI's investigation. Comey did no such thing and met the same fate eventually as Flynn when Trump fired him just last week.
Now, there are a number of calls within Congress by both, mainly by Democrats, but also by Republicans, about appointing a special prosecutor to look into this. And meanwhile, House Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz, who is a Republican, demanded that acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe produce within a week all information on the Comey-Trump meeting at the White House. What are the indications that you know, some sort of a special investigation will take place?
I don't know that the Democrats have corralled enough Republican votes at this point to appoint a special prosecutor or set up a special commission. But certainly there is more unanimity among Democrats and Republicans that Comey ought to testify, that his documents, his recollections of various conversations with Trump be produced, and that Comey appear both privately and publicly to say exactly what he knows about how the president tried to undermine the FBI investigation.
Meanwhile, some House Republicans spoke to the press today, and particularly House Speaker Paul Ryan. He seemed to sort of downplay, but compared to the Democrats and some Republicans, downplay some of these charges or allegations. There seems to be kind of a split there within the Republican Party.
To some degree, but even Ryan says that there's plenty of oversight going on. After all, intelligence committees, both the Senate and the House, the FBI, and now there's this oversight hearing that you mentioned by Congressman Chaffetz. There's a lot of groups that already are looking at the Comey dismissal, the Flynn investigation, Trump's actions. It is a rude awakening, perhaps, to the new president. He's been in office less than 4 months, but this is the way Washington operates.
All right. Thanks very much, Ken. That's VOA editor Ken Brademeyer. Well, also joining me in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, I can only imagine the kind of reaction this is getting on social media.
You know, I was talking to our colleague Ira Melman earlier, and I was saying there was an old newspaper writer who had a file in his drawer, and he'd report on city things, and he'd say, a fire occurred at blank, blank people were injured. It's kind of the same way we report on the Trump administration. The Trump administration today is dealing with blank. This is the response. This has happened. And so today it's the Comey memo that was trending all through yesterday into today. This report that former FBI Director James Comey has a memo of his encounter with President Trump where he asked him not to investigate former NSA Michael Flynn. Lots of questions about what's in this memo, when it will be revealed to the public, and then the term obstruction of justice trending on social media. Never a good thing in your administration when obstruction of justice is trending. In fact, if you look at the trend line from Google on searches for obstruction of justice, it spiked yesterday afternoon as people started to bandy about that term and talk about what charges might be levied. Now, this has kicked off a debate whether or not there is obstruction, whether President Trump's request not to investigate Michael Flynn did constitute that. Some people say that there needs to be proceedings to find this out. Other people saying legally it does not constitute that. But there's no doubt that this Comey memo has blown this into whole new proportions. Senator John McCain putting on social media that it's gotten to a Watergate scale. And a lot of people using the I word impeachment. Many people saying it's far too early to even begin to talk about that. Some people saying it's ridiculous, quite frankly. And Trump supporters especially saying it's a witch hunt. But there are some on the left saying that they would like to see impeachment hearings or at least talk about where that goes from there.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. Militants storm Afghanistan's national broadcaster. U.S. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley calls for the UN to intervene in Venezuela's humanitarian crisis. On this date in 1904, the landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling ended lawful public segregation in public schools across the U.S., and the U.S. releases Chelsea Manning. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
If you're in pain and need some relief, researchers at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and Boston Children's Hospital propose that instead of reaching for a pain pill, you just may need more sleep. The researchers, who detailed their findings in the journal Nature Medicine, also suggest that in the absence of adequate sleep, improved alertness through caffeine use, for example, could also help make you feel better. In their experiments on mice, the scientists gauged the effects of sleep loss on how sensitive the animals were to both painful and non-painful stimulation. After testing usual pain blockers like ibuprofen and then stimulant agents like caffeine, the researchers say they were able to find out how alertness played a role in lowering the sensitivity of the mice to pain. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Lady Gaga has a new single and new movie. We'll hear all about it. Here in Washington, supporters of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan apparently clash with a few dozen protesters outside the Turkish ambassador's residence in Washington on Tuesday, and at least 9 people were injured. Washington police say at least 2 people were arrested. Erdogan bodyguards were also involved in the scuffle that occurred on the same day the Turkish leader met with President Donald Trump at the White House. And police barricaded the perimeter to separate those two groups. Well, meanwhile, at the White House, the two leaders, President Trump, met with Mr. Erdogan. President Trump focused on security and trade.
Today we face a new enemy in the fight against terrorism, and again we seek to face this threat together. The Turkish people have faced horrible terrorist attacks. We support Turkey in the fight against terror and terror groups like ISIS and the PKK and ensure they have no safe quarter. We also appreciate Turkey's leadership in seeking an end to the horrific killing in Syria. We also support any effort that can be used to reduce the violence in Syria and create the conditions for a peaceful resolution. President Erdogan and I are also discussing the need to reinvigorate our trade and commercial ties. These are areas where we can build a relationship that will benefit both of our countries.
Speaking through an interpreter, Mr. Erdogan described what he called outstanding relations between Turkey and the United States, which have reached a level of strategic partnership.
The relations between Turkey and the United States have been erected upon common democratic values and common interests. Keeping our outstanding relations stronger than ever will be very important, not only for our common interests, but also stability of the globe and peace around the world. The close cooperation that the both of the countries shall demonstrate, especially in the region which is currently in turmoil, will be very important for the rest of the world. We are determined to expand our relations, and I believe my current official visit to the United States will mark a historical turn of tide.
Mr. Erdogan did say, however, that Syrian Kurds, known as the YPG, and their political party, the PYD, will never be accepted. He said they pose a clear and present threat and have no future in the region. Middle East Institute scholar Zubair Iqbal tells International Edition's Victor Beatty the emphasis on common interests was to be expected.
The very fact that he was coming to Washington, the implication was that many of the tensions, notwithstanding, the disagreements have been put at abeyance with the intention of taking them up later on and focus only on the most immediate issues. These immediate issues, as you know, relate to, one, the arming of the Kurd militia in Syria to go and fight with the Islamic State, and on the other side, the U.S. position with respect to the high-handed, strong reaction to the abortive coup, and both these things basically have been put on a level which sort of tend to provide a quid pro quo. The point, though, is the underlying tensions have not gone away, and they will come back once the conditions start to go wrong, which they could very well likely do. If supposing the Islamic State turns out to be more resistant than is expected at this moment, and the Kurds do not necessarily succeed, under those circumstances, alternatives will have to be found. And at the same time, if on the other hand, the Kurds succeed very quickly and therefore provide some sort of a fillip to the Kurdish militants in Turkey, things would start to fall apart. The point, therefore, is look at this as an agreement of convenience and not necessarily a strategic relationship which could last for a much longer period.
Well, Mr. Trump did separate the issue of the PKK, the Kurdistan Workers' Party, which the U.S. and Turkey both consider a terrorist organization,
right,
away from the YPG, Syrian rebels. This was not a deal breaker in terms of the decision by the U.S. to arm the Kurdish rebels.
No. See, because clearly this had already been worked out, number one. Number two, the most important thing was it needed to be worked out before Mr. Erdogan got here. The Turks will look the other way while the YPG group is armed. What I'm concerned about is down the road what will happen should there be problems with YPG achieving its objective in Raqqa against the Islamic State.
Zubair Iqbal of the Middle East Institute. Mr. Erdogan also said he has frankly communicated Turkish expectations regarding last July's failed coup. Turkey has demanded, so far without success, the extradition of exiled Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen, who lives in Pennsylvania. Ankara considers him the mastermind between the attempted coup. Zubair Iqbal said this matter, too, has been put in what he called a state of suspension, but it hasn't gone away. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is International Edition. One of pop music's most prominent stars has a new single out and is filming a new movie as well. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with the latest details.
Well, Sarah, I'm going to give you a clue. She became famous for wearing a meat dress, which is now on display at the Smithsonian.
Lady Gaga.
You got it. Lady Gaga. She is back with another song off of her fifth album. The album is called Joanne. And it's named after an aunt who passed away about 12 years ago, but obviously very significant in her life. In fact, they have a restaurant. The family owns it in New York, and it's called Joanne's Trattoria. So that's how close she was to the entire family and how influential. Now, Lady Gaga, of course, you remember, was on the Super Bowl, did the halftime show. She got over 150 million views of her halftime performance. And her new album has been selling very, very well for her. So she's back with a new song, and we're going to put the new song in the spotlight today, and then I'll tell you what's going on with Lady Gaga after we listen to The Cure.
I'll undress you cause you're tired, cover you as you desire, when you fall asleep inside my arms. May not have the fancy things, but I'll give you everything you could ever want, it's in my arms.
The Cure. Now, why is that song titled?
Well, you know, Lady Gaga has set out to send a very profound and deep message about her feeling and herself and her life and what goes on around her and how she cares about everything and everyone. The last song was called A Million Reasons, and, you know, she also sang a song, you may recall, on, I believe it was the Oscars, about abuse. And she had other abused people. She was abused. She admitted that, came out and told that story last year. Now, she had a bunch of people sing that song with her on the stage during the Oscars. And so The Cure is a song about finding a direction in life, finding not a cure for cancer necessarily, but finding yourself, finding what works best for you in your life. And she's gone through some ups and downs. She had a very public breakup with actor Taylor Kinney earlier this year. They were very much in love. They were planning a wedding, and then all of a sudden that ended. But that's kind of what The Cure is about. I really like the song. I like all the songs on Lady Gaga's album. She's really blossomed. She's much more than the pop fashionista that we knew her for back in 2007 when she first came out. These days, she's really setting style trends. People are watching what she's wearing. It's not for the outlandish, outrageous stuff, but she's really, really fashionable these days. If you see her today in New York City, she has dyed her hair black. Oh. And it's not because she said, I want a new look. It's because of her role in the remake of A Star is Born, which is co-starring Bradley Cooper, who's also directing it. He is in the role that Kris Kristofferson played back with Barbara Streisand. But she's in the film right now and wrapping up production. Then she's going to be going out on tour this coming up summer, starting in August. The tour begins in Canada. It's a world tour, so she's most likely going to be on the road for about a year. She's got stops in Germany and Sweden and France, all over the place. And she's out promoting her latest album. So, you know, we're all excited, all of us little monsters. That's what she calls her fans. I'm one of them, one of the little monsters. I'm a fan of hers, loved all of her music. She sold over 146 million records. And if you look at her accomplishments, it's hard to believe 12 Guinness records, 3 Brit Awards, 6 Grammy Awards. And she was named Woman of the Year at the Billboard Awards in 2015. And she's only got 5 albums out.
Wow. And I remember a few years ago at the Academy Awards, she did a musical tribute to Julie Andrews and sang a lot of her songs from Sound of Music. And they were, it was just beautiful.
We have seen so many sides to her. She did an album with Tony Bennett of jazz music. So she's showing us all kinds of talent. When she started off in high school, it was acting. She was on stage at her school. And she ultimately decided music was what she wanted to pursue. But she's got the acting bug inside of her. So, you know, she was on one of the cable television shows last year, which had huge success, American Horror Story. And so I suspect we're going to see more Lady Gaga on the screen, as well as hearing a lot of great music from the new album, Joanne.
Well, sounds like it. Okay, thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. That's Lady Gaga with The Cure. And that is our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In the first 100 days of the Trump administration, the United States has embraced its role as a global leader by demonstrating strength and decisiveness on the world stage. On January 28, the president signed an executive memorandum directing the Secretary of Defense to work with other cabinet members to develop a plan to defeat ISIS. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and the U.S. Department of State hosted the 68-member global coalition. In his remarks before coalition partners, Secretary Tillerson reiterated President Trump's position that it is the policy of the United States to demolish and destroy this barbaric terrorist organization. That is what we are going to do. In Syria, the United States mounted a military and diplomatic response 2 days after the Syrian regime's April 4th chemical weapons attack in Idlib province, which killed and injured nearly 100 innocent Syrian civilians. In response, President Trump ordered the launch of 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles aimed at the Shayrat airfield in Homs, from which the assault was launched. The United States has taken a strong stance against continued provocative actions by Iran as it relates to nonproliferation and counterterrorism. On March 21st, the United States imposed sanctions on 30 foreign entities and individuals in 10 countries pursuant to the Iran, North Korea, and Syria Nonproliferation Act. On April 18th, Secretary Tillerson announced a plan to conduct a review of U.S.-Iran policy across the entire government. Iran, said Mr. Tillerson, is the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism and is responsible for intensifying multiple conflicts and undermining U.S. interests in countries such as Syria, Yemen, Iraq, and Lebanon, and continuing to support attacks against Israel. With regard to North Korea, President Trump has laid out a new policy, which aims to pressure North Korea into dismantling its nuclear, ballistic missile, and proliferation programs by tightening economic sanctions and pursuing diplomatic measures with U.S. allies and regional partners. Over these first 100 days, the United States under President Trump has demonstrated strong leadership within the international community, and that the United States will continue to take the lead on the global stage.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.